When I pull up to the parking lot, it's time to level up. Dial in, showing out for your team. Listen up, get you some, I stand the fan to give you what you need. Fan fuel, game time, turn up the intensity. Team colors bleeding out, 5-hour energy. For a limited time, get the fan fuel flavor at 5hourenergy.com.
Ah, can't you see it? A glistening 100 megawatt solar field begging to be built? It's photovoltaic modules and balance of system powering a renewable energy tomorrow that's squeaky clean? We know that unless you have the right supplier, that world might just be a fantasy. But here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4 packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
All right, welcome back to another episode of Kane Collects. And as always, I like to start off each podcast just thanking everyone for the support, the downloads, the follows. As you know by now, hopefully you know by now, that you can get the Kane Collects podcast on Odyssey for free, or wherever you get your podcasts, Spotify, Amazon, Google Play, Apple. Like I said, appreciate all the support. And as you guys know as well, I always say if you can collect it, I'll talk about it. Now, lately I've been doing a lot of sports cards and things like that, but this episode, I'm going to hit back into the world of toys, and I'm going to bring back a guest I've had on before. One of the first guests I had was Chaz Morris, the owner of Funky Town Toys, located in downtown Utica, Michigan. Chaz, thanks for coming on the podcast again.
It's an honor. Thank you for having me on again. I'm really excited.
No, absolutely. You know, it's the holiday season. I thought, what better time to bring you back on to, you know, for people looking for toys, whether it's for their kids or for, you know, the adult, you know, the kid that's still in the adult, because I know you you see a lot of it every day in your shop, because you have a lot of, vintage toys and things like that in the shop that people love to buy and reminisce. And, you know, if you know somebody, maybe it's time for you, like I said, it's the holiday season, and you know someone who's into that stuff, please go down to Funky Town Toys and check them out at Utica. Can you, before we get started, Chaz, can you let people know where you're located, the address, and a phone number to call if they have any questions?
So we're on Van Dyke Road. We're in Utica. So we're at 45259 Van Dyke Road. So we're just north of Hall Road. And then for our social media, we're on Facebook and we're also on Instagram. And it's just under Funky Town Toys, both of them.
Yeah, and you guys post toys and things going on in the shop all the time, so I follow you guys on Instagram as well. So some good stuff as always. A great little store. I've been there before, and I plan on going back before Christmas comes around here. I haven't spoken to you in basically a year. So what's been hot of 2024? Like, what have you've noticed? Like, people asking more of, or what? I mean, what's still hot maybe? So I mean, what's going on the last year here in toys?
But I would say a year ago, wrestling got really, really hot, like incredibly hot. So I think the last time I did that was probably the hottest thing going on. Wrestling has always kind of ebbed and flowed a little bit. It stayed solid all year, but it's not as hot as it was a year ago. I think the most consistent mover here in the shop, funnily enough, is probably Transformers. Transformers are very consistent as a seller, and they probably don't ebb and flow as much. They're just like steady. Marvel is always pretty solid, so they're probably number three is probably Marvel. And then at the store, we do good with Star Wars because our Star Wars section is so enormous. Like, we have such a giant Star Wars collection, and that's got a lot to do with just because me personally, I love Star Wars. So our Star Wars section performs well because we have, I don't know if I want to say thousands of figures in stock, but I wouldn't be surprised if we have thousands.
Yeah,
of them
over there. A lot. You've got a lot, right? Yeah.
We've got a lot. So that section always kind of performs well just due to its size, you know.
Is it a mix of vintage and modern stuff, or is it mostly vintage?
Yeah, ours are older, but we don't have a lot of vintage. We do have some vintage. I have some very nice original Star Wars toys that just came in recently that are like from the 70s and 80s. So we do have a nice selection currently. But generally speaking, I don't have a lot of true vintage in stock. That's the stuff going back to like the 70s and 80s. I do have some, but generally speaking, our toys are not that old. And generally speaking, I won't have like the newest assortments that like Amazon has. I'll have kind of like a lot of the stuff in between. So I would say the majority of the stuff I have on stock is probably 3 to 15 years old.
Okay.
The majority of it. So this is all stuff that you just don't find at retail. That's really what it is. Yeah.
Yeah. Hard to find stuff. You got to hit stores like yours. And like most of the stuff I believe is in, it's like original packaging. Right. And then some stuff you do have out of the box and things like that.
Yeah. We're majority resale, so we buy collections and people trade stuff in, and if it's in good shape, we'll take it in. We'll baggy it up and then we offer it at a much lower price that way, because it's technically used but it's in good condition, and we're able to offer like action figures for like half or less than what they would normally cost in a package. So it gives people an affordable option, especially kids. If you don't care about the package, like you can get much more bang for your buck. So we have a huge selection of, they're basically used toys, but they're in good shape and they're very affordable. So that's definitely one of the things that we offer that you're definitely not going to find in the big box retailers, you know?
Yeah. And they can be hard to find too. So, you know, it's just something, whether that people don't care if it's in a box or not. I mean, if I can't, I never see this, then this is your chance to own it and have it.
Yeah.
And You just mentioned also you buy collections. So you guys people can bring in things and for you to take a look at and see if you're interested in purchasing, if they want to, you know, kind of unload, maybe get some holiday cash.
So the way I do it is all appraise. I do appreciate, it's not necessary, but I appreciate a phone call ahead of a time just so I know. But even if you just spring it on me, that's okay too. but my thing is I will appraise it for free. I'll let you know what you have. I'll let you know what I think the value is. And if it's something I can use, I'll make an offer, and I'll make a store credit offer and I'll make a cash offer. And the store credit offer will be bigger. But if people are willing to trade stuff in and they're willing for store credit, that's really easy on me. And that's where we get the majority of our stuff is through people trading in or people just bringing us stuff. But we buy collections, and that's why we have what I would consider kind of like unique stock.
Yeah.
You find older stuff. And it's, I think we keep our prices better than competitive. I mean, generally when stuff comes in, I'm trying to figure out what the price to put it at. I look what it's going for online and I go under that. And
yeah.
Then we have an incredible loyalty program. It's really good. All you have to do to sign up is put the phone number in our system. It'll give you a star for every 10 you spend. Every $10 you spend, you get a star. Every 10 stars gets a $10 coupon. So you get that on top of already really good prices. So we try to keep stuff as affordable as we possibly can.
So like you mentioned, like, so when I do like, talk to, like sports trading cards owners, and, a lot of them will buy, you know, cards and collections as well. But then like you, they kind of like, hey, if you can give us a call, let us know what you have first, or maybe even send us an email or pictures of what you have, so we can kind of gauge what we're getting ourselves into here. A lot of times they'll be like, hey, just going to be honest with you. This is, you know, from the 90s. A lot of this was junk wax. I don't know if I, you know, can use any of this stuff. As far as toys go, is there anything where you like, hey, recommend, listen, don't, you know, don't bother, or maybe don't bring it in, or hey, I'll look at anything and everything, you know, you never know. Or like I said, is there something where you, hey, it's universal, or like, yeah, that's just, you know, probably just keep it or toss it. I don't know.
Probably like Beanie Babies are a tough
one. Okay, there you go. That's good.
That's to know. That's a Beanie tough Babies. One because the other thing is, if somebody brings me something and I can't make an offer on it, I generally try to point them in the right direction of where I think they can move it to. So when it comes to Beanie Babies, that's one I get where I honestly, those are tricky, because when people try to appraise them and they look online, they see these crazy amounts that are insane. And I'm trying to, and then I have to tell them, well, you have to go into the completed auctions.
Yes.
Or you're going to see quite a different story.
Yeah.
But as of right now, I don't know any vendors who will even take them in. So I'm not sure where to send people with those. I generally will say sometimes the value is just keeping them in the family and let somebody in the family enjoy them. That's mm-hmm. sometimes that's your value right there.
That's crazy because Beanie Babies were like, they did some, I don't know what year it was, where they just completely skyrocketed and got out of control. And I guess it's completely come back down to earth and even less than that, maybe. And they've never gone back to that popularity.
They were, I think they were just sort of like overproduced. Uh-huh. And people who were buying them with the intent of reselling them. They really didn't intend ever on keeping them. And then it just created this bubble where then people just wanted to sell them and there was no buyers because there was never anybody who wanted to keep them to begin with, kind of way. So it created this weird thing.
So it's good to know Beanie Babies are the junk wax, 90s junk wax of toys. Everybody just don't want it. They're tricky. Okay.
But when they look online, they're like, oh my God, I saw this one and people are asking 500. Like, I think it's worth 500. It's like,
no, I let people know all the time, like eBay is a great vehicle and tool to use, but you got to know how to use it. So I can list anything on eBay for literally any price I want. That doesn't mean that's what it's worth. Now, like you said, you've got to go to the completed sold section and find out what people have been actually buying and paying for these things. And that's more generally where you're at, where something's worth.
Yeah, you get a much better idea. Yeah, it's easy to appraise with eBay if you know to take that extra step, it's actually quite accurate.
I mean, it's the best way to judge the market. I mean, this best we got. And by the way, that doesn't mean that you have to sell it for what someone else sold it for you. If you think it's worth more, then hold on to it. By all means, it's your property. So whatever you want, you feel comfortable letting it go for. But it is only worth what someone's willing to pay for it in the end.
And that's the tool that I personally use when I'm appraising stuff that comes in.
Okay, so for toys, you also use eBay. Is there any other app or anything like that that they people use out there for toys, or is just eBay most generally used?
Some people use Amazon, and I don't, because for me, Amazon is lopsided. The new release stuff that they have a large inventory of will price out really low, and the older stuff that they have a small inventory of prices out ridiculously high. So I don't. Some people use Amazon. I don't see the point of it if their numbers are way off. Mm-hmm. So eBay is what I use.
Before, one last thing on the Beanie Babies, because I just find this topic hilarious with the Beanie Babies, is there is probably maybe there's got to be at least one or two or a handful of Beanie Babies that actually are worth something though. Like, you know, even in the 90s era where there's a lot of junk wax, there if you know what you're looking for, you can find cards that are worth anything. Is there anything like that with Beanie Babies, or are they just generally, hey, they way overproduced every single one of these?
They do like air. There were like errors and stuff. So I think on the tags, sometimes there's like printing errors or something that make it, I don't know. The whole air thing to me is weird, but in that instance, sometimes they're rare and they go for a little more. Everybody talks about the Princess Diana Beanie Baby. Yeah. That's the one they always bring up. Well, I've got the Princess Diana one. Yeah, I think at one time in the 90s, it probably did go for big money. But the last time somebody mentioned it and the last time I looked it up, it appeared to be maybe $20, maybe 15 or 20. Yeah. So again, not gonna make the car payment on selling.
No, not sending the kid to college with that one. All right. Okay. So, you mentioned earlier, like wrestling has been hot and stuff like that. Is that like, because just the WWE now was so hot, or is it like more like, hey, they're taking it back to Hulk Hogan days, you know, or.
So yeah. Cause they had such a strong WrestleMania and The Rock came back.
Okay.
And their viewership just exploded. And then I think wrestling is kind of one of those IPs that it appeals to adults and kids too, especially the toys. The toys appeal to adult collectors, and there's a lot of families and kids who buy wrestlers, and a lot of the kids will want, you know, 20, 30, 40 wrestlers. You know what I mean? So they'll buy a lot of them. So when it's hitting on all cylinders and it's getting a lot of eyeballs watching the product, I see the foot traffic coming in here and hitting that section. But the popularity of the toys, like a lot of things, it's tethered to the popularity of the IP at the time. I mean, you can say that about a lot of stuff, the Marvel section, the Star Wars section.
Well, you know, I was just about to ask you that. How much does current events and just pop culture right now affect your business?
It depends on like the Marvel section. It depends on what kind of movies are coming out. Like Deadpool and Wolverine came out, and I saw a bump in that section because people like the movies. So then, especially when kids see it, they want to buy the toys. But you'll see that. Star Wars, like I just watched a new show they just dropped yesterday called Skeleton Crew, and it was a lot of fun. So I'm hoping that'll get kids to look at Star Wars a little bit closer than they were before this show dropped. So it definitely matters depending on what's going on with these with the media that's out, especially wrestling, because what does it come on twice a week, wrestling?
Yeah, it feels like it's on more and more every time I check the schedule.
So it's around all the time. So when it's creating a lot of buzz, it's got the advantage of having current media like constantly happening. You know, it's not like a movie that comes out every 2 years; it's on twice a week. So That's always good. Definitely, this year was a little weird sales. Not this year, but I would say the recent few months were a little bit slower than normal. And I talk shop with a lot of the other guys that own shops or sell online, and we all were kind of saying the same thing, that we all noticed a big dip in October. It was as compared to what's normal, and we weren't quite sure why that was. It was right before the election, so we thought maybe a lot of people were just had some anxiety or something and just didn't want to spend or something. But that was a pretty slow month for whatever reason. But judging off our holiday weekend, we were right on par with last year, you know. So after the election, things seem to be back to normal here. But but obviously this hobby is tethered to the economy too. Yeah. So if we see the economy improve, we'll see sales improve as well.
So like, I think last we spoke, Barbie might have been like the big movie coming out, or just maybe they're selling a lot of merch or something like that. Yeah. I think I was asking you about that. Like, Taylor Swift's been crazy hot, you know, this past year with the concerts and all stuff. Like, do you do anything with that kind of stuff? Does she have that kind of like toys or figures or things like that? And do you get involved in that type of stuff too?
I've never seen any of those, and nobody's ever brought me any. So I'm not sure. And nobody's brought me one.
Maybe they want to hang on to it. I don't know.
But even like Barbies, I have a few. I have like a section for like smaller children and even for girls. So I do keep a small section of Barbies. Like, I'm not opposed to keeping Barbie dolls in the shop. It depends. Like I said, I'm mostly resale, so kind of depends on what people are bringing me. And then when I look at what the value is, and you know, I'll take that kind of stuff in.
My brother-in-law is a big Power Rangers fan.
Okay.
He loves Power Rangers from the original to like whenever they, you know, changed the cast or whatever. He just bought my daughter, which is his niece, like six like big, like over, you know, 12-inch action figures of each one or anything like that. Are Power Rangers pretty big in LA still really popular? Like, because he loves them, but he's older. You know, this is from taking him back, and that's why he enjoys it.
So Power Rangers is kind of like one of those legacy brands that never really goes away. It's kind of like a Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles or a G.I. Joe. Like, even if they go away from retail, that just means they're going to come back in a year or two. Like, it's just one of those classic like legacy brands. And Hasbro bought the IP, I don't know how many years ago, maybe like 5 years ago, Hasbro brought Power Rangers, and they started making their own Power Rangers figures. They were called the Lightning Collection, and anybody who collected like the old Bandai ones, and God bless them, those toys are great, but from a detail standpoint, the Hasbro ones were just beautiful, like the likenesses of the actors, really a level of detail that we hadn't seen before. So those were actually very popular for the first few years, up until a couple of years ago. They slowed down for whatever reason, and Hasbro actually stopped producing them. They're on hiatus right now, and I believe they contracted those out to, it's not Bandai, Playmates. I think Playmates is going to start doing the Power Ranger figures. So I doubt they're going to be as detailed as the Hasbro ones. But anyway, it's changing to another company. So we'll see stuff. But right now it's all on Power Rangers on hiatus right now. We got a section in the shop that's mostly Lightning Collection, and they do move like it's a legacy IP. Yeah.
Do you find, like, well, you mentioned changing hands and changing makers, and what have you noticed about the quality of toys being made over the last 5, 10, 15, 20 years? Do you think, like, because I've heard a lot about Barbie, you know, like saying, hey, they're just not as good as they used to be. They don't make them as, you know, now they're just pumping them out just volume-wise, not quality. I mean, what do you think about it overall, or is there one you want to point out, you know, just the quality of these toys being made?
Yeah, Hasbro does great stuff from a quality standpoint. If you look at those G.I. Joe classifieds they do, if you look at the Marvel Legends, there's a level of detail there that's fantastic. Nika, which does like your horror like icons like Freddy and Michael Myers and Jason and all that stuff, they've got their own little niche too, and quite detailed, but their price point's higher. That's when you start getting into what kind of bang do you get for your buck kind of argument. And McFarlane Toys is really, in my opinion, you probably get the most bang for your buck with McFarlane. They currently do like the DC figures, so like your Batman and your Superman. They're typically about $22, and you get a lot of figure there. You get a lot of quality. So they're the ones who do like the Spawn figures. They're the ones who you're a sports guy. They're the ones that do those Sports Picks figures. You've seen those things. They're gorgeous. For like $20, you get these like statue photorealistic quality like sports guys. So McFarlane, I think, is probably the best company for like quality at a really affordable price point.
Do you have any sports figures at the shop, like starting lineup for the ones you just mentioned and things?
I do. Yeah, I do get them in. And a lot of them are old. But even like the older ones that they were making 20 years ago, they hold up like the ones they're making now. Like they were way ahead of their time. They're very detailed. And I try to explain to people how they display when you take them out of package, how great they look. Those are meant to be out of package. But no, we have a section. We have a sports section. Yeah.
Nice.
I try to keep the Detroit guys in stock, but it's really cool. But I do my best to have some Red Wings, some Pistons, some Lions. But it's hard. It's a battle because they sell.
Oh, yeah. Well, check it out, people. Maybe they've got some, you know, maybe Chaz has something you've been looking for. And then you can also check out some cool toys while you're there.
Speaking of which, I just got in to Charles Woodson's University of Michigan's. So that's exciting.
There you go. Yeah, you never know what's going to walk through the door, right? When you walk in that morning, you're like, I wonder what someone's going to bring today. Hopefully something cool, something you don't have and could use.
Charles,
right?
And there's Charles Woodson.
Yeah, there you go. With toys today, do you think, like, is there any value in keeping them in the package still? Like you mentioned, like those you could play with or they display great. Has that you know, come and gone? Or is it still, hey, keep it in the package? I know, for example, like Michael Jordan starting lineup figures in like 1988, 89, 90 when they came out, a lot of people, they are worth more in the package. And then it depends if the package yellowed or not, or if it's torn or whatever. But I think as soon as you take it out of the package, it loses the value, at least for the Jordan stuff. A lot of the starting lineup figures, they have not gained any value at all. I mean, you can open them up and it's not a big deal. So what about toys and today's world?
Generally speaking, if you can, just my personal opinion, I think you really enjoy it. You open it and you display it. And then if you're really worried about value, just keep the package. You can always return it to the package later on if you decide you want to sell it. And it's just not sealed. But if the figure's in good shape and the package is in good shape and you got to display it for a while, I think that's the way to go. I say open them and just keep them in good shape. I think that's the key right there.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, and including the package, like you said, I think that would help with the resale for anyone that's looking to, you know, buy everything, you know, even the instruction manual.
but they're like in boxes now. They're not typically on blister cards now. Like starting like it was on a blister card. Yeah. So when you open, it's just open.
Yeah.
Well, boxes now, you cut one piece of tape and you can just open it and take it out. It's just a piece of tape. It's different now. They're in boxes now.
Do you have board games there?
I generally don't carry board games. We have a small section. Maybe we have less than five. The problem I have with board games, they take up too much shelf space. Like the faces of them are too big, and for their point, they take up too much space. So I generally don't keep very many. Sometimes they'll come in on a collection, and if it's like if it's something licensed, a one that I think people will like, I'll take it in and put it out. So that at least we have something if people come in looking for that. But
yeah,
generally not very many.
Okay, because I sometimes I'll get into the YouTube rabbit hole, and I'll start seeing these guys that go to garage sales or vintage stores or Salvation Armies or whatever, and then they seem to say, hey, if you find vintage board games, those are worth buying, and those could be turned around to make a quick $20, $30, $40 or whatever. Is that true? And number two, What should I be looking for if I go to an estate sale or something and see a bunch of old toys or whatever? Like, what's a good buy, Chaz? Like, I mean, without having to look up everything at any moment in time, what do you suggest?
So you've got the vintage stuff, which is good. Now, for one thing, toys should always have a date stamp on them. So sometimes it's really tiny and you really got to have good eyes, but you really want to find that date on there to see if it's vintage. So if you're seeing something, so if the figure doesn't look very detailed, check the date. If it's looking like it's old, you might have a cool vintage toy. If it's looking like it's in good shape. If it's not vintage, you're looking for modern stuff, and the modern stuff you can just kind of tell based on how detailed it is. Star Wars is really easy to tell because Star Wars is all about the posability or the articulation of the figures. So that's an easy one. So right around 2006, they started making them where they're ball jointed posability. So that's what the collectors want. The collectors like the detail and the posability. So if somebody's got a bin of open Star Wars figures and you can pose them, they're probably modern ones and they're probably valuable. If they're not very posable, check those dates. And if it's something from like the 70s or the 80s, then that's vintage and that can be valuable. But if they're pricing out like they're from the 90s and they're not very poseable, then that's, collectors aren't interested in that. But the newer figures like the Marvel Legends, like those Power Ranger ones I was talking about, you can see the detail in the faces. If the faces just look really realistic and they're painted really realistic, like that's something modern that's what the collectors like detail. So if it's something that looks really detailed and really posable, and depending on the price point, if it's cheap at a garage sale, if it's like $3, $4, $5, it's probably a good buy even without looking it up. You're probably on something good.
I mean, it's a garage sale. Usually these things are pretty cheap anyways, or they're in a tub or something, or just on the table.
Stuff. Yeah. Yeah,
exactly. Something you see at garage sales too a lot is Legos. Are Legos worth a buy? Because when I go to a Lego store in like a mall or whatever, they're expensive, man. And I know it's like a Harry Potter or Star Wars or whatever like the theme is, but they're not cheap. I mean, is this something I should be picking up at garage sales?
So Legos, they go up in value once they're retired, probably faster than any other toy that I'm aware of. Like they really shoot up in value. Legos are expensive, but the reason they're expensive is because you can't really break them. If you take care of them, they last generations. Like you can hand them down to your kids and they can end up, as long as everybody takes care of everything. The other thing Lego does that's really smart is if you lose the instructions, every set they've ever made, you can go online and reprint the building instructions. So it all comes down to just not losing the parts. If they're boxed, there's always value there. The only time there's not value is if there's a box of just like parts of other sets and they're all mixed together.
Okay.
Nobody wants to put the time in to figure out what's what and build what out of that. So
yeah,
the stores that take those in sell those by like weight.
Oh,
like,
okay.
There's not really money involved if it's like a mixed box of parts.
Oh, okay. You're looking for like a set, basically, kind of like a box.
A set, yes. Or even one that's already built, like you can still have some value, but the box sets are where it's at. Even if it's open, as long as it's got a box and its instructions, it's a very good buy. Yeah, for sure. Legos are so valuable, and when they retire, they just really shoot up in value.
Yeah, we were talking about quality earlier. I don't know if it's the material or quality of Legos, but if an asteroid ever hits Earth, Legos will be the only thing that survive, I think. Like, those things don't break down, man.
I've stepped on plenty of them, and I lose every time. Those things,
they're indestructible, man. You're gonna lose every time. That's not a battle you want.
You can't break them. You just take care of them so you don't lose them, and you're good.
Right. So we've mentioned Star Wars a couple of times, and you said, you know, maybe because you buy a lot of Star Wars because you like them. Is it hard to sell that stuff for you, or is it like, hey, you know, this is my job, or hey, I already got this, or like, is there anything you find like,
hard
you know,
to sell?
That's going to be tough to sell because I really enjoy that, or I like it, or it's really cool.
Sometimes I'll get something in a deal, and I'll want to keep it for myself. You know, I'll be like, oh, I'm not selling this. This is awesome. I want to keep it. But invariably, at some point down the road, I'll just be like, you know what? I'm ready to sell this. Like, there always comes a time where I'm ready to let it go at a certain point. There's not one item that I own that I would be like, as far as toys, where I'm just like, oh, I would not sell that.
Really?
Would,
well, what are you, PC? You got to collect something.
I do, but I don't. I would never get to the point where, oh, I'm keeping that. Like, I just, I do collect things, but. Like, how much do I really need? Like, I'll give any of it up.
Really?
I've met people who won't sell anything. Yeah. They're like, you've got a collection and they refuse to sell a single part out of it. I'm not. That's
you're not like me. That.
I'm good. I like money. Anything's good.
Well, you know what? You found you're a good business owner then, because the problem is for the people that don't sell and realize, hey, this is you know, this is your livelihood or whatever. You don't own a museum, you own a store, right?
Right. That's ultimately what I want, because I want the stuff going out the door so I can bring more stuff in. So I'm rotating my stock.
Yes.
My regulars really don't want to come in and look at the same stuff.
Yeah.
So I'm always trying to move stuff out the door
and get so I can bring more stuff in.
Yeah, that's always my goal.
What about comic books and Pokemon and Yu-Gi-Oh and Magic and all that stuff? Do you guys carry that at the shop?
We carry comic books. Comic books are difficult because the overwhelming majority of them are kind of what's considered common. I'm just talking from a price standpoint.
Yes.
From a value standpoint. You know, 99% of them are what's considered common. And then you got the special issues that everybody wants. So it kind of creates this thing where, when you buy a collection, there's just a few special ones in there, and those you can sell really easy, like they're gone. And then you're stuck with all these other ones that just, they move like molasses. So that's,
taking up space.
We carry them, and it's funny because my first location, when I first opened, I was right next to a swim school. So little kids learning to swim. So that when the parents and the kids would come in, I would try to push comic books a lot, because it's just, my personal opinion, they're great for kids. Like, getting kids to read is a big deal. You can appreciate the artwork. There's like themes of heroism. It opens up this whole window just about being creative, which I just think is so great for kids. And the new ones can get a little pricey. They're between $4 and $5 for a new comic book. But we've got all these back issues. We have a dollar section, but the majority of our back issues are $1.99, the majority of them. So we definitely have reading material for just somebody to come and read a good Batman story or whatever. So I see the greatness of comic books. I mean, if you've seen some of the artwork on these covers, beautiful. I mean, put them in a case and hang them on the wall. They're gorgeous. Like, just the art is just something that's just really beautiful to behold. But the problem value wise with them, like I said, is there's just a small percentage of them that really people are after, and the retailers get stuck with all these other ones. That's kind of like the problem I have with them. But I do appreciate them for what they are, and I love the mythos of all those characters. I love the mythos of Batman and Superman and Spider-Man, and that stuff is great. And that's why we keep them at the shop, because they kind of go hand to hand with the action figures. It just, they go together. When you go to a Comic-Con, that's primarily what you're going to see there is comic book vendors and toy vendors, because the two go together. Mm-hmm. But mean, if you look on my back wall back here and you just look at the beautiful artwork on those covers, I mean, it's just magnificent. I mean, so yeah, so that's I appreciate them just in a different way. They're their own thing. They're their own thing. But honestly, like I said, I would love to see kids just read, just get into them more than what they do, just because they have so much to offer, with just appreciating art and being creative and all that good, wonderful stuff.
Yeah. And I've done an episode or two on the comic books, and yeah, they don't all have to be this super expensive graded comics. Like, they're meant to be read and gone through and looked at. So, I mean, that's, you got a price point for all, you know, the younger people and kids. So that's good.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah.
We talked a lot about action figures and things like that. What about like games? Like, I don't know, or not games, like Light Brighter, Etch-A-Sketch, I don't know, things like that. You know, like, do you have, like, carry that stuff? I know they brought it back too. Like, they've made modern versions of it, which essentially is the same thing. Just, you know, it updated maybe slightly.
Occasionally we'll get those in on a collection, but the original ones, I don't see them very often. Like all that vintage stuff from way back when, I just don't see it that often.
Yeah.
Doesn't come in. It's been so long that stuff is truly rare at this point, you know. It's cool stuff. I love seeing that stuff because I remember it as a kid. So that's where the nostalgia comes into play, because, you know, I think in the shop we celebrate like pop culture especially, and we celebrate fandom, but for some of us that have been around a bit, it's the nostalgia factor too that plays in too, and that's really important too. I think that's another aspect that I can appreciate.
What about, do you go to, like, are there toy shows and, you know, do you go to any of those, and are there any here locally?
I'm sorry, one more time.
Toy shows, like, you know, like, cause in the card world, trading cards, there's like card shows almost on a weekly basis where vendors set up and have tables and they sell their cards or sealed wax or whatever. What about for toys? Is there anything similar to that? Like at a hall or, you know, or some kind of venue, banquet hall, whatever.
So there's a few Comic Cons around of like different sizes. Some of them can be quite big. And then there's these smaller toy shows that will typically be maybe in like a VFW hall or a Knights of Columbus hall or something like that. And those shows typically have between like 30 and 50 tables. And depending on the promoter, the ones I go to seem to be pretty comic book heavy. And then with a few toys and then maybe a few like Pokemon cards. Those are the main ones we see. We started promoting our own collector show. This, our first one was right before COVID, and we had it at the Disabled Vets Hall in Shelby. I don't know if anybody's familiar with that one. It looks, when you drive by it on the Quinder, it looks like a giant red barn, but it's an event center. So that's where we've been having that show. And I think at one point we were doing about three of those a year. And I think in there I was able to fit 38 8-foot tables. So I would sell 38 tables to vendors. And it was called Collector Con, like collect-r-con, Collector Con was the name of the show. And I think my show is a little bit different because we were the promoters and we're a toy shop. So our show is definitely more toy themed than the other small shows that I've been to or set up at. So we probably had 2/3 of our vendors were toy vendors. So that show's been on hiatus because we were trying to find just a different venue because our numbers started trending wrong with attendance. So we thought we could spice things up with a new venue. So I did find a new venue. We just announced a couple weeks ago on Facebook and Instagram. It's January 25th. And it's at a church. It's called Sojourn Church. It's in Sterling Heights. So it's in a giant shopping center. The facility used to be a gym. It's going to be great. It's a great venue. I mean, so we're really excited. So we're going to have about 40. We for this first show, we're already sold out with tables. We're going to have about 42 tables sold. It'll be $5 to get in, and children 10 and under are free. We always have like refreshments at those kind of shows. Because one thing we learned as a promoter, like, when people get hungry, if you can't feed them anything, they just leave. But if you can just keep them in the room, they'll keep shopping.
Yeah.
Kind of thing. But we're really excited about this venue. It's, for one thing, parking is always an issue at these shows, seemingly. And it's in a giant shopping center. So it's got, I don't know, a couple thousand parking spots. So I think I'm going to be good.
So January 25th, it's at what church?
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It's better over here.
AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free. All on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Payoff up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port and trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
Fantasy freaks and geeks, it's James Kell from the Sleeper King Football Podcast. We all know sleepers can win you championships, but finding these guys takes time. That's where the Sleeper King comes in. Let me do all the research so you don't have to. Every week, I'm going to break down which sleepers you need to pick up off the waiver wire and which surprise deep sleepers could help you win the week. Every episode, just 15 to 20 minutes long, every Tuesday through Friday. Subscribe to the Sleeper King Football Podcast on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your pods.
Church,
it's called Sojourn Church, S-O-J-O-U-R-N,
and that's Heights.
Yeah, it's at 37680 Van Dyke Avenue, Sterling Heights.
It's January 25th. Is that a Saturday or a Sunday? I don't have a calendar in front of me.
Yeah, so hopefully this will be our venue permanently going forward, or as long as possible. But our shows there will always be on Saturdays because they worship there on Sundays.
Okay, yeah, that makes sense. I just realized what I just said there. But yeah, unless you're going to be in between services, I don't know.
Yeah, you can go there on Sundays.
Yeah, right. So cool. Yeah, that's cool. And you're trying to do that like what, 2, 3, 4 times a year, maybe, depending on, you know.
So for now, we're targeting 3 times a year, and okay, then we'll take it from there. We'll take it from there. If we're getting a lot of attendance and a lot of hype, we'll bump our numbers up.
What would the hours be? Well, like 10 to 6, 10 to 4?
The show will be from 10 a.m. to 4 p.m.
Okay.
Yeah.
Cool. Awesome. And can you bring toys to sell? Yeah.
Yes. Yes. The vendors love it.
Okay. So, yeah,
bring stuff in to trade or bring stuff in to sell to vendors. They love that. They love it.
Awesome, man. I'm going to have to check that out. I go to a lot of card shows, and the card shows in Michigan have really picked up. I mean, I tell people all the time, there is a show almost every weekend. It just depends on where you live. And I'm talking around the whole state, not just Metro Detroit. So whether you're in the west side, or you're up north, in the thumb, you know, or like I said, Metro Detroit, there's usually something going on every weekend. And hopefully, you know, with toys as well, because I love all things collectibles. And that sounds like a fun show. Three times a year is nice too. It gets kind of like you anxious for the next one, you know, because it doesn't have to be every weekend. You know, sometimes like it is overkill, but yeah. It sounds like you said you already sold out for tables for January 25th. So this should be a good one.
Yeah, we're excited for the venue. Just because it's got like one side of the room is all windows, so there's natural light in the room. It's not claustrophobic. It's just, I'm excited. It's different. I think the vendors, when they see it, are going to be really
high. So you're promoting it, but also are you going to have a table set up as well for Funky Town?
So I'm usually right by the door where people are coming in, and I will have a table behind me where I'm selling some of my own goods. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Awesome. Sounds good. All right. Well, Chaz, I appreciate you coming on, man. Hopefully the show works out well. People, you know, why don't you give people the phone number one more time if they want to step out to Utica, downtown Utica is where the store's located.
Yes. And our phone number, if you want to call the shop, and I'm pretty much here. I'm here every day except Sunday, so it'll probably be me answering the phone when you call. 586-843-3684.
Well, yep, come see him. It's the holiday season, and you can find that toy for your kid or the adult that still has that kid in him. Like I said, I've been there, got cool stuff, and always stuff rotating in and out. So that's the good thing. Like, you know, you don't have to worry about seeing a lot of the same stuff all the time when you go to Chaz's store, man. Chaz, I appreciate you.
Well, I appreciate it.
Not a problem. Everyone, thank you for listening. And like I said before, appreciate any you know, word of mouth if you want to let someone know about the podcast. And as always, keep collecting. I'm